Hey, it's Brian Curtis from The Ringer, and I want to tell you about the Press Box podcast. The Press Box is a podcast for anybody who likes news, whether it's about sports or politics or pop culture, and wants to understand how that news really gets made. We have new shows every Monday and Thursday. We have long interviews with everyone from John Krakauer to Joe Buck. Your social media feeds are bursting with information every day. Let us help you sort it out. Join us on the Press Box.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
Let's roll, baby. Happy Easter, one and all. The East Coast Bias Boys back, ready to rock. First Monday of the month of April. The Final Four is set. The NBA playoff race is starting to take shape that much more. We got a big injury update we're going to get to in a little bit. We have Raheem with a little 100 action coming your way. Joe House, Raheem Palmer, John J. Stremski. House, you know, I got to say this. It was not the best betting weekend for me. I feel like I have been saying this way too often throughout this NCAA tournament, but there was a saving grace for me. I took NC State on the money line yesterday against Duke. I had a feeling they beat them in the ACC tournament. They're red hot. They won all these games. I said it about Marquette and NC State. I said Marquette's either going to win by double digits or NC State's going to win outright. I took the same approach going into the Duke game. And, dude, I'm all in on DJ Burns, the fat man, baby. I love him.
You and the rest of America, JJ. Why wouldn't you be? Everybody loved DJ Burns. Kevin O'Connor immediately put him at the top of his draft board. I mean, we're all living in this DJ Burns world. What do they call him? Zen? Or the Zen Debo?
Baby Zebo.
Baby Zebo. Gen Zebo. Gen Zebo. That was the one I saw that I liked. There you go. Gen Zebo.
I like that one, but I'm still calling him Escalade from Air One. I mean, this
works
guy
for
is
me
just,
too.
I mean,
he could be driving that Escalade, Raheem, if he actually keeps hitting me money line bets. Just saying, dude.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
House, were you surprised? And I know you had Duke going to the Final Four. They get an enormous break on Friday night with the Houston injury. Let's be honest. They don't win that game, I think, on Friday night if you don't have the injury to shed. That was a killer for them. Houston looked like the more physical, more dominant team. You take their best player away, it's obviously going to change things. But as I was watching this game Sunday, and I had NC State, Duke, it felt like should have been up by like 10 or 12 points. NC State couldn't hit a shot in the first half. It's a four-point game. It's a six-point game. It's a working margin. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, not for none. I think NC State's in great shape. I think they're going to win this game because they're going to eventually hit some shots. I thought Duke had no answer for the big fella. They just had no answer for the avalanche that came their way. And the team that I thought was kind of soft all year kind of ended up playing true to that form in this final game for them of the year.
Yeah, your angle on that was absolutely the right one, JJ. The NC State money line was by far the best way to play that game. And the thing that really stood out to me is, like, this is not the first time, Duke, that you have played NC State. You know who DJ Burns is. You should have by now a concept of how to defend him. And yet they went and they just let guys single man him, and he put everybody that went up against him in the torture chamber. And we just did it over and over and over again. So what do you say if you're a Duke fan with John Shire, one note Shire. He only has one way to play. He only knows one way to play. Like, this is the transition for Duke, one of the most storied college basketball programs in all of the land. They can't readjust on the fly with Shire and whatever their recruiting class is. Congrats on making it to the Elite Eight. It took exactly what you described, JJ, an injury to the most important player on the one seed. That's fine, but they got exposed, and it was a pantsing on national TV. Everybody got to see it. I can't wait to fade Duke in every strategic opportunity next year, Dream.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm going to be honest. I did not watch that game. I was watching NBA at the time.
Yeah.
But I saw that there was some sharp money on NC State plus 7.5. And I just think that the remarkable thing about this run is that this team wouldn't be here if Virginia Tech just fouled up 3. So,
Virginia. Yes.
Yeah, Virginia.
Another
Virginia
coaching genius.
But you know
Tony
what,
Tony Bennett. The brilliant Tony Bennett. How could he possibly? 3 fouls. It's not just foul once. Like, what are we doing with these ACC coaches?
Insanity. But you know what? When you're a team that goes on this sort of run, this is what makes this month so fantastic. NC State was dead to rights. They had to win their conference tournament to get in. They were 17-14 in a regular season. But now they're as hot as anyone. They're going to the Final Four. Raheem, we got to be fair on this. You and I talked a lot of smack about Purdue. We bashed Matt Painter.
We did, but I did double back.
You did. You said that they were going to go to the Final Four. To be fair, you did. I'll give you that. But just in general, though, from a narrative standpoint, I think we should acknowledge a team that got a lot of dirt kicked in their face. And listen, we were leading the charge. Don't trust them. Don't believe them. You saw the pathway there for them. And hey, they've been dominant. You know, they played a number 2 seed. It was a close game with Tennessee. It was one of those games. ATS, I took the 3.5. I thought it'd be a 2-point game. If Dalton Kennett hits one of those shots from the outside, maybe they end up covering the number. But the bottom line is, Painter, Edie, get the monkey off their back. And Raheem, if anybody has a chance to take down UConn, which is, we'll get to that. It's going to be a daunting challenge. I understand that. Purdue, hands down, has the best chance to do it.
Oh, without a doubt. And I think the most impressive thing about that Purdue victory to me was that they were 3-for-15 from behind the arc. And you got Dalton Kennett dropping 37 points. And they still not only won the game, but they covered. So this is a team that has fought back from disappointment. They've shown that they can win ugly, and they've shown that they can win pretty. So if there's any team that has a shot, it's definitely the Purdue Boilermakers.
House, you look at Purdue as a team that could challenge UConn, or not necessarily?
Only because of how unique Edie is. And we will know in the first 2 minutes of where we're now. Let's be respectful to Alabama and NC State. You know, both of those teams will put up the formidable challenge that we anticipate.
Will they?
Well,
I don't know about UConn. I don't know about that.
Yeah, I've already plowed in to UConn laying the points. It's really been...
Can't blame you. If you do it every game, you make money.
Same as last year. All they do is win by double digits every single time out. But the unique aspect of Edie, we will see from the first 2 minutes of the whistle that Purdue gets, that Edie gets against UConn, what kind of game that's going to be. I do root for those two teams, because over the course of this tournament, those are the two teams that have demonstrated, unlike Duke... unlike North Carolina, the ability to adapt, to be flexible, to win a variety of different ways, to meet the challenge that's in front of them, and game plan around it a little bit. So I do like the idea of Purdue and UConn. I'm rooting for it.
I have a square bet for us, House. It's really as square as it gets. It's on FanDuel. I got to bring it to Raheem's attention, because he's probably going to mock me for it. And it's fine. You can, Raheem.
Is UConn to win a national title at minus 185? That's not
no.
it?
No. Better than that.
It's squarer than that?
It's squarer than that. Minus 110, UConn to beat Purdue in the national championship game. I mean, House, even money. I mean...
yeah.
And this is going to be a spoiler alert to what we do on Wednesday when we break down the Final Four going into Thursday show. I think NC State is far more likely of making it a game. They got the juju. They have the big guy. But ultimately, Raheem, I think we're looking at UConn and Purdue on Monday night. And yeah, if I had to look at it right now, I'd say UConn is probably going to win that game. I would. So I'd take that bet.
I think that's a good bet. I really do. And I also, when you're looking at the fact that Purdue is a 9.5-point favorite over NC State, Connecticut is 11.5-point favorite over Alabama, I think that's a bet that I would take all day. And then, you know, they have the hypothetical matchups here on FanDuel Sportsbook. UConn is supposed to be a 5.5-point favorite over Purdue. So if both Purdue and UConn get through, you may be able to find yourself a good middle opportunity by taking Purdue with the points either pregame or in-game. So I do like that one.
House, I know you like a square bet. In?
I'm in. Yeah, that's the best one I've heard so far.
Hey, listen, when we find a square bet, we got to throw it by the Jedi Master and then we kind of take it from there. You know, I have to say this, Raheem. Mm-hmm. I wanted so badly to bet Illinois on Saturday. Like, and I'm proud of myself. I honestly am going to take a bow because I showed some restraint. I said, I'm not going to do it. I said, I want to root for Illinois. I'm so sick of UConn, but I'm not going to take my good hard-earned American dollars that I get taken care of and put it on a team that had absolutely no chance. And that game was tied for like 15 minutes, but yet UConn missed every three-point shot imaginable. How about a 30-0 run? In the Elite Eight, to go on a 30-0 run when Illinois, statistically speaking, is like the best offense in the freaking country. And then I got to hear Underwood. He's doing a dopey interview in the end of the first half. Oh, maybe you guys going to, Van Gundy's talking about it. Bonner's talking about it. Oh, maybe they should change their strategy in attacking Klingon, who's a monster, and he's altering either every shot or pass that's going towards the rim. And they're like, no, we like our plan. We like our strategy. You know what, Raheem? 30-0 run, maybe you shouldn't like your strategy. Just saying.
I just struggle with seeing a 30-0 run because after about 15, I'm punching somebody in the face. I'm going full 80s, 90s basketball, and we're going to end this with some violence because there's just no way. But when I look at UConn, like, the most impressive thing for me is the fact that the defense is just unreal. They've held their four opponents to just 80.5 points per 100 possessions. And Illinois is no slouch. You're looking at a guy in Terrence Shannon who has just been balling out of control. And this Illinois offense, I mean, they scored at will against Iowa State, who was the best defense in the league. So for UConn to come out and do that, like, I don't know how you bet against this team. And, you know, before we got on air, JJ, you mentioned that this might be the year to repeat. But I think one of the things that we're seeing is that this could be the year of the chalk. And when I say chalk, I mean just the favorites. You're talking about UConn getting through. You're talking about Purdue getting through. I think you could look at other sports, and I think you might see Denver and Boston in the championship. So this just feels like a year where the favorites are just ultra dominant.
Well, House, on that note, and we did mention the idea of the year of the repeat, where you have the Kansas City Chiefs going back-to-back. We saw that in the Super Bowl. UConn is two wins away in college basketball from back-to-back. Are we looking at Denver as a potential team that could go back-to-back? Perhaps. And listen, Raheem, if we're talking chalk, I hope the chalk in the American League after Juan Soto's arrival in New York, one of these years, maybe the Yankees is a chalky pick to get to a World Series. House, I need that in my life, baby. I need it.
Well, we didn't even get to the golf. Scottie Scheffler back-to-back at the Players' Championship and one of the lowest odds you're going to see going into the Masters, but it's proper that we didn't get to the golf. But it really could be the year of the chalk.
On that note, and I flipped on the golf. House is like, we were at Easter dinner. We're watching all the basketball, and then boom, like, my uncle's a big golf guy. He goes, can we see the end of the golf? I go, yeah, let's put it on. What were the – you're good with this. What were the percentages on that Scheffler putt on 18? What was that, like a set? For most pros, what is that, 75, 80%?
I think that's right. I haven't sat down and done the math. I was on an airplane when all that was happening, but I think it was a less than 6 foot putt, and I think odds wise it's in the 70% when you get up to that range.
Like, watching it, House, I'm like, shit, that's a putt I'd make. You know what I mean? Like, wow. I'm like, I don't know about that, but you get my drift. It wasn't one of those where it's like, wow, this is, you expect the pro to make that putt. You could tell how shocked he was.
Under those circumstances, you expect the pro to make that putt, yes.
And I know a couple of people out there who did have Scottie Scheffler. Not me, but a couple who did. They were not enjoying the end of their evening. All right, guys, we did all the college basketball. You got two monster spreads for the Final Four coming up on Saturday. UConn double digits over Alabama. You'll have Purdue right under 10 against NC State, and we'll give the official picks on our East Coast Bias show, which will be on FanDuel TV on Thursday morning. Now, we got some NBA to get to. We'll get to the Sunday games in a minute, but Raheem, right before we got on, news from Woj about your buddy Embiid and his possible return. So, the Sixers right now are in that play-in. The Sixers are going to have to really go pedal to the metal to get out of that play-in. You see any value here in Philly making some noise? Maybe going on a little bit of a run with the big fella coming back? Or is it just 2-8 in the game? Is there just too much uncertainty about what he will look like in playing these games? Where do you, as you are Mr. Sixer, where do you kind of stack up the idea that you're going to see Big Joel back in action maybe early next week?
So I spoke about this on the Philly Special podcast, and I think I talked myself into the Sixers. And I know I said earlier that the Sixers had a real shot at missing the postseason. Well, I looked at some numbers with Jimmy Butler when he had his meniscus injury back in 2018 with the Wolves. And he came back and he was pretty solid. And I think Joel Embiid can do the same. You look at Joel Embiid with the Sixers this year, 26-8 record, net rating of plus 10.3. So that puts them in the category of one of the best teams in the league with Joel Embiid. We all know the Sixers made some additions at the trade line. They got Buddy Hield in. That's a guy who he hasn't played particularly well. But if you look at Joel Embiid, he's playing with a sharpshooter. Look at J.J. Redick. He sets those screens. I expect Buddy Hield to look a lot better. You got Kelly Oubre in the fold. You got Kyle Lowry. You got all of these guys around Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey. And I think this team has a legitimate shot. And one of the reasons why I'm saying that is because you're looking at the Philadelphia 76ers right now, eighth in the Eastern Conference. They're going to find themselves in the 7-8 play-in game. Now, if you're in a 7-8 play-in game, and let's just say Indiana, they slipped to the seventh seed, the Philadelphia 76ers would be massive favorites over the Indiana Pacers at this point. Tyrese Halliburton looks like a shell of himself post All-Star break with that injury. So if the Sixers end up in the seventh seed, let's say they take on the Cleveland Cavaliers or the Milwaukee Bucks, I think they might be live to get out of both of those series. They'd probably be favorites over the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I think it'd be close to even money with Cleveland. The only thing is I'd push back on Raheem. Mm-hmm. If you have Boston and Milwaukee 1-2, and let's see who the three is going to be. Is it going to be the Cavs? Is it going to be the Knicks? Is it going to be the Magic? If Philly ends up in a situation where they're playing either Boston or Milwaukee, obviously they have a better chance against Milwaukee. We understand that. But you could see them beating the Bucks. You would get invested maybe in a series price.
Here's the thing. If they're the seventh seed and they're taking on the two, they're not going to have to play the Celtics until potentially the Eastern Conference Finals. And then one of the things is that you have Miami potentially taking on the Boston Celtics. That changes things. So, I mean, if you could have Miami to take on the Celtics and you're on the other side of the bracket, I just think that puts you in a good position to where if you buy on the Sixers now, maybe you could hedge later.
Okay, House, where do you stand with Philly? And I want to correct myself. I'm thinking Embiid going to come back next week. I figured he'd take a couple days. No, Woj said maybe as soon as Tuesday. By the way, that game is nationally televised for what it's worth. So that would be a nice game on a Tuesday night. My focus will be elsewhere, but that's a story. We'll get to that in a minute. Where do you stand on Embiid, House, coming back? Do you think he can really make an impact, or are you not necessarily buying?
So I absolutely endorse and understand the logic that my esteemed colleague, Mr. Palmer, laid out for the case for Philly. But that requires us to be living in an alternate Embiid universe. What reality aren't we talking about with Joel Embiid? My dude had a knee injury. We have been watching this guy struggle with being in shape at peak physical performance. What version of Joel Embiid do we think is possibly good? All we see year in and year out come playoff time is banged up Joel Embiid. In every playoffs, that's the excuse. that the Sixers and their fans point to, well, Joel wasn't quite healthy. He had this injury or that injury that kept him from being healthy. I don't honestly understand what it is that Philadelphia thinks they're doing. Is Daryl Morey, running this team as though his job is potentially at stake? Because I don't see any upside whatsoever to the version of Embiid that's going to come out here and try and compete in these games. These are not joke games. It's not January. It's highest leverage. All these dudes are playing killer ball right now. This is their livelihood at playoff time. There are no soft moments. Fat Embiid, under these circumstances, I don't understand it. I will load up. Now, the play-in has certain leverage opportunities that I'll invest in potentially, but let them get in a series and watch. I don't care who it is that they're matched up against. They're going to get cooked.
Yeah, I'm with you on this, House, just because I have no idea what I'm getting with Embiid when he comes back. And there always seems to be an injury history with this guy in the postseason. And oh, by the way, they have postseason demons. That second round has been their bugaboo. So why am I supposed to believe with Embiid not being right and not being in rhythm and the body being totally out of sorts for him that it's going to happen? Now, I get your point from a numbers perspective and saying, hey, it's a good buy low opportunity. You could make that case. That's fine. I just don't see it with Philly. Like, out of the play-in, I'd be surprised if they won a round. Unless they get Cleveland. Cleveland is the only team I'd say, wow, I think they'd have a good shot.
Against Milwaukee, just because when you look at this Milwaukee defense, it's just absolutely abysmal. Like, who can they stop? Like, look at Damian Lillard. Anytime he goes up against a top-tier point guard or an average point guard, they cook him. You saw what D'Angelo Russell did to him. Like, watch the Tyrese.
You know who they can stop? They can stop Fat Embiid. That's who they can stop.
Are we trusting Glenn now? We're going to trust Glenn Rivers at this point?
That's a story for a different day. But again, this is why it's so important, House. You nailed it. To see what these matchups are going to be. And it's interesting. Like, I'm in New York, obviously, and, you know, the Knicks want to get that 3 seed, but you don't know if necessarily the 3 seed is going to be that much more advantageous for you in the first round, because is Miami the 6? Is Orlando the 6? Is Indiana the 6? Like, there's so much unknown. My advice, if you're one of these top 4 teams, well, the Celtics are going to be the 1. More than likely, Milwaukee's going to be the 2. But Cleveland, the Knicks, whoever, just win. And you know what? You win, and everything else will kind of figure itself out. And you'll go from there. Now, Raheem, I was into that Thunder Knicks game last night. Really good game. Wild game.
That was a great game.
Nobody hit a foul shot. Knicks had a huge lead. They were awful in the third quarter, early fourth quarter, because when Brunson is not on the floor, they're plus minus. I mean, when he's on the floor, they're outscoring the Thunder by like 16 to 17 points. When he's not on the floor, basically Oklahoma City is getting a bucket every chance you get. Williams, oh my goodness, he put on a masterful display. I couldn't believe how good that guy was in torching the Knicks, but they missed the N1 call on Brunson. I'm pissed because I know he couldn't hit a foul shot, but it's a clear N1. It's a 1-point game. And then I got to watch SGA Raheem break my freaking heart. Gets open right past McBride. Boom, corner shot, game set match, and the Thunder win the game. Is that a game where you look at Oklahoma City and say, wow, that environment, New York City, rocking Easter crowd, on the road, young team, and they go win a game like that, does that make you think, maybe that's a good thing for them as we roll into the postseason, or would you not put too much stock in it?
Well, so see, this is tough, just because Oklahoma City has been doing this since last year. We saw last year, you go back to the game in which LeBron James broke the all-time scoring record. They were down in that game. They come back and win and just dominate that game. So they have a top five offense and a top five defense. And typically that means that you're a championship contender. And they also have a closure in SGA, who has proven that you can't rattle him. Like, he's always going to get to a spot. He's always so poised. So this team in the clutch, they're not a team that I would want to see. Now, the issue I have with Oklahoma City is that there are specific matchups in which they're going to struggle with. They're not very big inside. So like if they were to take on the Denver Nuggets, if they were to take on the Minnesota Timberwolves, if they were to take on the Los Angeles Lakers, they're going to get bullied in those matchups. But everybody else, I think they have a real shot at beating and dominating. So it's just a matter of matchups, but this team is just, they've proven that they're poised and they're not going to be rattled.
Agree with all the above, JJ. I'm so excited to see what the matchup ends up being for Oklahoma City, because there's like a giant set of opportunities. I really hope they get the Lakers, because that's going to be the new kids on the block against the changing of the guard, like all those kinds of storylines. And they might run the Lakers out the joint. I mean, we've seen it. It's been a little while, but remember the way Oklahoma City did the Spurs a handful of a decade ago or so, the old venerable Spurs and that Oklahoma City team with Durant and Westbrook and Harden, they lost and then they ran them out. And that might be what we see coming up here. I'm excited for it.
All right, boys, when we come back, it's 100 time. So Raheem will unveil his 100 pick for a Monday night. House and I will throw in a couple of best bets sprinkled in along the way, and we'll go out with East Coast Bias with an absolute bang. All right, Raheem, it's that time. We're warming up before even the start of the postseason. It is time for the 100. Take it away, sir.
Okay, it's year two of the 100. Last season, we went 57-41-1, about 10.9 units. And we had one left. The one remaining was the Denver Nuggets plus 500 to win the NBA title. You look on FanDuel Sportsbook right now, the Nuggets are about plus 330 to win the NBA title. So we do have that one in pocket from last year. But it's a brand new year, and the only thing that matters is what we do next. We're going to go with the Atlanta Hawks plus 3 against the Chicago Bulls tonight. My model makes this game a pick 'em, so I'm seeing a little bit of value on Atlanta Hawks. I know this Hawks team hasn't been great all year. They've been one of the worst teams covering against the spread this year. However, they've quietly won and covered 4 out of the last 5 games before losing 122-113 against the Milwaukee Bucks on Sunday. You look at the Hawks, they've been a completely different team since the All-Star break. 10-9 net rating, a plus 2.5 versus 24-31 with a net rating of minus 2.4 before the All-Star break. The biggest thing about this game is that this is an awful spot for Chicago Bulls. They're not only playing a back-to-back after the 109-101 victory against the Timberwolves last night, but they're playing a third game in 4 nights after taking on the Brooklyn Nets on Friday in Brooklyn. So you play 2 games on a road. Now you're back-to-back at home, first game back from a road trip. And I look at the Bulls last night. They beat the Wolves, but they really shot over expectations. 17-29, almost 60% from 3 yesterday and 52% from the field. I expect it to regress here. The biggest thing is, I mean, this Bulls, they're only 20th in 3-point shoot and 36%. And you're looking at this Hawks team, to me, they're rolling right now. And, like, if you look at since the All-Star break, they're 5th in offensive rating, 122 points per under possession. Since the All-Star break, the Bulls are 27th in defensive rating, 118 points per under possessions. They're also 28th in half-court defensive rating since the All-Star break. So they're playing on a back-to-back, plus 3-4 nights. And again, if they had to win it in the clutch yesterday, I expect some tired legs for the Bulls defense. I think the Hawks come out here, they probably win this game outright. Bulls are just 4-8 against the spread in their last 12 games. I'm going to go with the hotter team in the Atlanta Hawks, plus 3.
Atlanta, the official pick for the 100 here, starting off the month of April. Best of luck to you on that one, Dream. I get the logic. Totally see where you're going there. House, we have some ladies basketball in the college. I have a baseball play. So we really are diversified here with the best bets. So let's hear the ladies pick here, House. 2 good games, by the way.
It's a wonderful time of year. And by the way, I absolutely adore the Dream jumping on Atlanta, the worst team in basketball against the spread. Look at this is how he comes in, though. He comes in hot. He comes in with a giant cojones.
Nobody wants to bet him. That means you got to bet him, you know?
He knows what he's doing, right? Because nobody's been more schizophrenic than the Bulls. The Bulls lost to the Wizards last week. Come on. You know what time it is. I love that Hawks pick. But I am looking at the ladies, the slate tonight. What a great Monday night. 4 of the very best teams in the country. Iowa getting LSU in that national championship rematch. LSU is a dog, plus 106 on the money line. Iowa favored by 1.5. And then UConn with its storied tradition, laying 3.5 against USC. And my girl Juju, who's been spectacular, she's going to win National Freshman of the Year. I'm looking at LSU, and I'm taking LSU on the money line in this game against Iowa and Caitlin Clark. And the thesis is simple. When a bully knows, when a bully has a victim, that bully just can bully that victim. And I think this is going to go. You want to get the numbers a little bit. LSU averages 46 rebounds a game. Iowa, 4-3 this season when they give up more than 40 rebounds. I think LSU is going to have its way on the boards. They lost a bunch of starters last year, so they're a different kind of bully, but they reload. It's the same character, the same tough style. I think that they're going to get physical with Iowa, and I like LSU on the money line tonight, plus 106.
Wow, fading the Caitlin Clarks. I love it. I love it because you're trying to go contrarian on us, Haas, which I think a lot of people are going to enjoy. You know, everybody wants to, hey, like anything else in life, you see a superstar, automatic, you got to go and bet him. Our buddy's going the other way here. I like it. I got a baseball play for you guys. The Houston Astros just lost 4 consecutive games. They had leads in 3 of those 4 games against the Yankees. They had a lead on Thursday. They had a lead on Saturday. They had a lead on Sunday. You're getting them at a low number today. It's in the 130 range. They are not starting off the season 0-5. I am on the Astros. They get it done, Raheem. And I will take the Astros over the Toronto Blue Jays. And another bet we're going to make, and I've been doing this because a buddy of mine kind of got me on this all weekend. We're taking the over for total bases at 1.5 for Juan Soto because it has just been... And I know he walks, so it's dangerous because he can easily have a game where he goes 1-for-3 with 2 walks and your bet doesn't hit because total bases don't count as...
Oh, wow. Total bases don't count when you walk?
No. That's why you get them at better numbers. That's why you get them at plus money.
Interesting.
That's why, Raheem, you'll see to get a hit, Soto's going to be like minus 200. To go over 1.5 total bases, he's probably going to be like plus 110 or plus 115, especially Soto, who walks a ton. But he is seeing the baseball so freaking well right now. It's like a beach ball for him. I say at least 1 extra base hit for him. If not, he's going to have a couple of hits. I'll keep riding that train. It's been good to me. So Astros tonight, laying in that 135-140 range. And Juan Soto over 1.5 total bases.
So those total bases props are really good for guys who steal bases.
Well, no. So doesn't count stolen bases either. So total bases means single, double, triple home run, right?
Wow.
So think about it. If you get a double, it's 2 total bases. If you get a single, it's 1 total base. Home run, obviously, is 4 total bases. So Soto goes Yancey. Boom, I got nothing to worry about. Bet hits.
Okay. Oh, so this is okay. I don't know why I assume that you could steal a base and this, you would be fine.
Correct. So like when I do these 4-leg parlays that we put up for FanDuel on New York, instead of taking guys to homer, where it's like real freaking crapshoot, total bases, if you're going 1.5 total base, all right, you could get 2 hits, you can get a double, you know, like you have, and you get good value on it, man. Like, you don't want to just go all chalk.
That makes sense. Wow. And I learned something new today. I had no idea. I've never bet that prop. I mean, a lot of the props I was betting, no run first inning, yes, run first inning.
Oh, that was standard. And by the way, there will be a Yankee same game parlay on FanDuel Sportsbook, New York. So, I have not gotten in the lab yet, fellas, to put that whole bad boy together because you like have to wait until like 2 or 3 in the afternoon for a lot of this stuff to come out. That said, though, it's going to be a winner. I'm feeling good. I hit one on Friday. I think we're going to hit. The basketball has been awful. Hot start to the baseball. So let's keep that going. So House, Raheem, JJ, we're signing off. House, I will look forward.
I got to say one thing. How about the Atlanta Braves right now? I mean, they opened the season minus 240 to win the NL East. They're all the way up to minus 360.
You know what, though, Raheem? It's so interesting with the Braves. They're going to win a zillion games in a regular season. But because of what has transpired against the Phillies each of the last 2 years, I almost wonder if it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, well, if you win 105 and you win 92, just get in the damn tournament and get hot at the right time like they did in 2021 when they won the World Series. Like, now the way baseball's set up, it don't matter if you win your division. Who cares?
It's totally true. Everybody makes the playoffs. That's how you get all these teams losing over, you know, that's why I liked all of the loss totals over 100, because so many teams make the playoffs. Teams are not going balls to the wall to win the maximum number of games as the playoffs approach.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Great time of the year. NBA playoffs are right around the corner. We got the Final Four on Saturday.
I got a question for you.
Yes.
I know I keep interrupting.
That's fine. I don't care.
The Yankees, plus 175 to win the AL East. They got off to a hot start. Are you playing it? Because the AL East looks really interesting.
I'm nervous about Baltimore.
Yeah.
And I've said that all along. I think the Yankees and the Orioles are both going to be playoff teams. I'm on record of saying that. The reason I like Baltimore more to win the division, they're a younger, more spry team. And I know Juan Soto plays every day, and I know he's got something to prove. And, I mean, I bet him to win the American League MVP. I'm feeling good about that one, House. I mean, I'm feeling really, really good about that one. That guy, in a contract year at Yankee Stadium, is going to be an absolute freaking menace for everyone to deal with. But that's it, Raheem. Like, I'm just more confident that Baltimore's guys stay healthy. But I do have a good Yankees are a different team with Soto, and they're more balanced. They're going to be more dangerous. You'll see. They're much more built for October, I believe, this year, assuming they get Cole back, which is a must.
Yeah, I see it with you guys. It's just definitely exciting to watch. You guys got new uniforms. I'm not quite used to them yet, but
the gray. Well, you know what? The gray ones, they're like the old throwbacks. They're like from the Mickey Mantle, Joe DiMaggio. Like, what's aside from the dopey sponsor, which just drives me insane. Like, the Yankee pinstripes should never have a sponsor on a uniform, but hey, everybody's doing it. Tough to say no. I will be a Yankee home opener on Friday, so that will be a fun little time at the bodega. Boys, I will see you on Thursday morning for Final Four picks, with home stretch NBA, maybe a little baseball and a little early season Masters. House, get in the lab, man. I will be over the next week. Buckle up.
I'm in it. You know I am, JJ.
So that's probably the most lengthy close we've ever had to East Coast. But you know what? It was worth it. We had a lot of stuff we got to get in there. Boys are out. Good job, Stefan. See you, everybody. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, and Vermont. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9 with it in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700, or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-gambler.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Or call 1-800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.